Rav Meir Tversky Shlita wrote a tshuva this week, a tshuva lahalacha this week, that I think shares a perspective that is not often shared and is not often heard. When he sent the tshuva to Mori V'Rabbi Rav Shechter Shlita, Rav Shechter wrote a small note back to Rav Tversky, and the note reads, Kvod Yekiri Harav Rav Meir Sheyichya, Avarti Ala Maimar V'Hadvarim Nechonim Ma'od. I went over your piece, and it is very correct. Ukmedumali shemitzvah lefarsimam. And I think it's a mitzvah to be mefarsim these words, and he signs it simply tzvi. It's a mitzvah to be mefarsim. So if my Rebbe says it's a mitzvah to be mefarsim, I'm going to be mefarsim. I am not, I just want to make it clear, I'm not suggesting that Rav Tversky's policy is what we are going to follow. Like I said before, we're going to follow the psak of Moreno Rav Shechter and Moreno Rav Willig. But I do think that in all of the WhatsApp chats and all the, you know, the websites and all that, and all the noise that we hear, this side of the argument does not get presented properly and does not get presented responsibly and often does not get presented at all. So I think it's an important voice to hear. I don't know if you can properly understand what it means that Rav Meir Tversky wrote a tshuva lahalacha. This is a person who runs away from any sort of gaiva in a way that you've never seen. I mean, I've never met a more humble person. And in the tchum of halacha, he's terrified. He's terrified to enter the area of halacha, that people should rely on him. In a conversation we had this week where he said, I know it sounds farcical that I wrote a tshuva. And I was like, yeah, total farce, you know. Meaning he thinks it's crazy. Why did he do this? He never, ever does this. Why would he write a tshuva? So he's uncomfortable, but he writes. He explains why he did it. Vihine sakonas nefashos hi eis ledaber. When there's sakanas nefashos, that's when it's time to speak up, he writes. And you have to realize the context over here. This is an enikel of Rav Chaim. Rav Chaim Soloveitchik is known for being someone who took pikuach nefesh extremely seriously. Any cell shel safek, any shadow of a doubt of pikuach nefesh, very, very seriously. And this is a family tradition by Rav Tversky, and I want to share what he wrote. He wrote it in Hebrew, so it's not necessarily easily understood by everybody, and even those who do understand Hebrew maybe have missed some important nuances in what he wrote. So part one of what he writes is the topic of sakanas harabin, that percentages that you see all over the place when people making arguments about what is and is not dangerous, percentages are only valuable in assessing the risk for a yachid. Should I go bungee jumping? Should I go skydiving? Should I get in my car this morning? That's where percentages play a role. When it comes to a rabim, though, the halacha says that more vigilance is required. We can't even assess the risk in a particular tzibur. I have a young shul, so people who are younger are less at risk. We're not allowed to do that. Who can guarantee that there isn't even a svek sveka shel sakana l'rabim when we start up minyanim now? And he has some sources to back this up. The Shulchan Aruch writes in Siman Shin Chav Tassiv Zayin, V'yesh mi sha'omer shebizman hazeh afilu ba'u al iskei mamon. If someone attacks us and all they want is our money, mechalim, you're allowed to be mechal Shabbos to save yourself from them rather than giving up your money. Why? Why could you be Mechal Shabbos? Just give up your money. You have to give up your money to avoid Chil Shabbos. She'im lo yanichenu Yisrael lishlov lovos mamonu yargenu, because it could be that one Jew is not going to want to give up his money, and he's going to stand up for it, and therefore he's going to get killed. Vavi Safik Nefashos. And therefore it becomes a Safik Nefashos to face the situation where you have to be Mechal Shabbos to avoid the attack. So the Magen Avraham asks the question, I don't understand, why is that a sakana? If you could just give up your money and then you won't get killed, what makes that a sakana? What makes it a sakana? That maybe one person won't make the right choice and won't give up his money. And one person might stand up and say, I don't care, I'm going to fight for the right to keep my money. And then it's going to be a sakana. So everybody has to be Mechal Shabbos, because that qualifies as a sakana. That since it's a rabbin that's involved, if everybody were to do something, one person will make the wrong choice, that becomes Pikuach Nefesh. His second Raya, Shulchan Aruch writes in Siman Shin Tes Zayin Siv Yud. Kol chayev remes shehem noshchim umemisim. If there's some sort of creature that is a dangerous creature, vaday ne'eragim b'Shabbos. You're allowed to kill it on Shabbos. Afilu ein ratzon akrav. Even if the creature's not chasing you, you're allowed to kill it on Shabbos. So Shaar Tzion comments that the Rambam sounds like you only kill them if they're in front of you, but you don't have to go after them to kill them. Meaning you don't have to look for these dangerous creatures to kill them. But says the Shaar Tzion, but if it's a makom shematzui barabim, if there are rabim that are around, then you kill it. Even if it's not chasing you, even if it's not going after you. Because it's not going after you, but it may go after the next guy. And therefore you are allowed to kill it. So that is those are his rayas about sakanas harabim. And then he points out a second critical idea, that there's a difference between medical knowledge and medical guesses. We certainly rely on medical knowledge, and we're obligated to consult with doctors for what their best guess might be as well, but we also have to assess the information and figure out what is fact and what is just, what are they just projecting as possibility, as something that they are guessing at where they do not yet know for sure. First of all, sometimes they know, sometimes they're guessing. We have to make sure that what we're hearing is something that they know. And they can't know everything about COVID-19. And any doctor, one of the leading infectious disease people told us on a conference call this week, he said, we don't know enough, nearly enough, about this disease. And anyone who tells you otherwise is someone who is lying to you, is someone who you should never trust. How many times has Dr. Glatt, every single update Dr. Glatt gives us, we learn so many new things every day. There are so many things we thought were true that are no longer true, that simply aren't true, right? As we said, the one thing we knew about this virus was that it doesn't affect children until it did affect children. We just don't know. And we see changes on a daily basis. Dr. Glatt, just in today's update, said we have some findings that have confirmed what we believed and others that have shattered what we believed. The reason doctors are recommending that older people not to go out is that they're not 100% sure that the guidelines are in fact safe, says Rav Tversky. Rav Tversky goes on to say, sometimes also, doctors step beyond their area of expertise. Rabbis do the same thing. Everyone does it sometimes. When we're being relied upon for our expertise, sometimes we project beyond our area of expertise. When they're asked if and how to implement tefillah b'tzibur in a way that isn't dangerous, they aren't defining danger the same way halacha defines danger. Nobody is as strict as the Torah is about a sfek sfeika shel sakana. And also, doctors are not qualified to determine what is essential in halacha any more than the President of the United States is really qualified to determine what the halacha says is essential. Many frum doctors think that it is, and even more so, many non-frum doctors and many non-Jewish doctors think it is impossible to go without tefillah b'tzibur, and therefore suggest the safest way to open. But what is essential is in halacha is something that you need a posek to tell you. And certainly government determination are totally irrelevant to defining sakana. They're looking to slow the spread and not overwhelm the health system and make sure there's a healthy economy. We're looking to make sure that not a single Jewish life is lost. If anything, as soon as the government allows it, says Rav Tversky, we need to be more careful, because now people are circulating. And when people are circulating more, this weekend is a Shasa Sakana like no other. We should be extra vigilant this weekend and the time that follows this weekend. And Rav Tversky quotes many sources. I don't want to get into them right now. Bir Lachan, Tafrei Shud Chesh, Bir Shabbos Gil, Chesaparek Lam Tes, Ha'aret Hesvav, Ayen Shem. And then he points out there's a concept called halacha ve'ein morin ke. Every psak needs to assess two things. First thing you need to assess is this correct, the halacha? Am I getting the halacha right? Second thing you need to assess, not just is this correct, the halacha, is this correct, lemaisa? Is this something that can work, lemaisa? Even if something is correct, the halacha, if it's going to bring about something, lemaisa, that is not correct, then we cannot be matir. That's what we refer to as halacha ve'ein morin ke. We don't need to guess as to how people will handle rules. We know it. We've seen it in things that Rabbanim have allowed certain things beforehand, and things that have been allowed in more recent days. We see how people are at following rules. One might argue, well, you know, you got to give people an outlet, and that will provide a safer environment than if they just break the rules. Rav Tversky argues Kol heter yechazak libam v'yadam lifrotz od. That whenever you give an outlet, you're going to see more and more, meaning, oh, if even the government, if even the Rabbanim are allowing that, well, then it must be that I can go even steps further than that, says Rav Tversky, and it's based on the Gemara in Erev and Davav, Rav Bika Matzah the Gadar Bageder. And some sources for this notion of Halacha Vein Morin Kein, the Gemara in Beitza Dav Chavches, strictly speaking, you're allowed to sharpen a dull knife on Yantif because it's a Machshirei Ochel Nefesh that you could not have done before Yantif. But Ein Morin Kein, because then people will be Mizal even in things that you could have done before Yantif, and that's Halacha Pesukin Shulchan Aruch. We're even allow Mechal Shabbos in cases where it's going to be Machshil and Lasa Lavo. We allow Chal Shabbos to travel in order to tell people about Kiddush HaChodesh and about the new moon, because if we discourage it, then Lasa Lavo, people aren't going to come. The Taz in Shin Chav Ches, Sif Katan Hay, quoted by the Mishra Brura, talks about Pikuach Nefesh B'Shabbos Al Yedei Yisrael, that when there's a Pikuach Nefesh situation on Shabbos, what do? A Jew is Mechal Shabbos. But if there's a guy available, why don't you just use the guy? No, a Jew is Mechal Shabbos. Why? Because next time, there may not be time to look for a guy. And you're going to waste your time looking for a guy. Halacha? V'ein morin kein. Menachas tav tzadites. Afilu lo kare el kriya shma shachris v'arvis kiyem lo yamush. Even if a person just says kriya shma shachris v'arvis, he's mekayim lo yamush. But you're not allowed to say that in front of an Am Haaretz. So that's the notion of Halacha Vein Morin Kein. Rav Tversky believes strongly that this fits into that area of Halacha. And then a final comment before his conclusion is what he calls Anan Bididan, that even though there are God-fearing people who are simply not worried and who are writing articles preaching about Emuna, how we have to have Emuna and we shouldn't be nervous about things, we shouldn't be moved by such arguments, because their confidence is most often born in ignorance, either because they don't know the difference between medical knowledge and medical guesses, or because they're looking at their own dalaramos and not thinking about far-reaching ramifications, or because they're relying on government, or they don't fully appreciate what v'chai bahem means, or maybe they exaggerate the importance of tefillah b'tzibur from a halachic perspective. And this is like somebody, he says, who isn't nervous about smoking because he doesn't realize that it's dangerous. It doesn't become okay just because a person doesn't realize that it's dangerous. You'll say, but stores are open and beaches are open and people are going everywhere. How could shuls be the only things that are closed? So Rav Tversky argues that's all the more reason to realize how important it is within one's ability to limit social interactions in every other way. See, I'm lucky. I never have to leave my house. I think I mentioned last week, my car has been sitting in the driveway. We took it to get tested for antibodies. That was it. No, we didn't even take my car. We took my wife's car. My car has been sitting in the driveway. I think it's been dead for 5 weeks. It's just a clump of metal that's sitting in my driveway. And I don't have to leave my house. Not everyone is so lucky. People do have to go shopping. People do have jobs that they have to go to. And we understand that, obviously. That's what you have to do. But when I asked Rav Schechter about this, so Rav Tversky was arguing that maybe the fact that shuls are closed is a healthy reminder to people that they should not take the parts of society that are open as carte blanche to do whatever you want. That one has to think very carefully how necessary any given interaction is. Rav Schechter added that it would be a chilul Hashem if a person got sick in shul. It's not a chilul Hashem when a person gets sick socializing. So we have to be very careful about that as well. And then Rav Tversky concludes, and I emphasize again, this is all, I'm just translating Rav Tversky's tshuva for you, not because I'm saying we're going to follow what he's saying. We're going to follow what Rav Schechter and Rav Willig and Rav Asher Weiss have guided us to do from day one. That's what we're going to follow. But I think it's a perspective that isn't heard enough, and I think it's a perspective that may give us a little bit of comfort, particularly those, and there are many, who aren't interested in going back to Minyan, who are still nervous about it, or who don't think that it's necessarily so wise. So we don't have to tell people that, oh, okay, b'shas hadchak, you can stay home. No, l'chadchila. Rav Schechter told me, tell people, l'chadchila, you stay home. That's the best thing to do. B'di'evit, if you feel like you're desperate for a minyan, you're desperate to, so b'di'evit, you go out to minyan. That's the perspective that Rav Tversky is providing. That's what Rav Tversky writes. Rav Tversky thinks, I think, no minyanim should start till further notice. Why? What are you waiting for? What's going to happen? So he points out, when there are two kinds of sakana, and this is obvious, right? When there's a passing sakana, so you stay inside ad yavar zam until the sakana passes. But when there's something that they call the new normal, and it's not a passing sakana, the flu comes back every year. We don't lock ourselves in the house. When there's something that's the new normal, so then you have to live. You can't stop living forever. So if Tversky points out, and until we have a vaccine, this is the new normal. I mean, there is no ad yavar zam. So he argues that, yeah, but at least give doctors some time to learn about it. They just didn't have enough time to learn enough about it. Till when? He said, whatever time you choose is arbitrary. He understands that. But he thinks that it's too early still, that time hasn't come yet. Doctors have been so busy working on saving patients' lives and keeping patients alive and dealing with the chaos. Now give them some time to study. Give them some time to figure things out, to learn about the aftermath of people who recover, and about give them some time. That's Rav Tversky's argument. And then he concludes, Ha'ola lahalacha ulamaisa. He says what comes out, lahalacha and lamaisa. Chova lahamtin milchadish kol mine knufyasa. That we have to wait, we are obligated to wait, from till we have any sort of gatherings. Va'afilu minyanim etzumtzamim, even just minyanim of 10 people. L'kal ha'pachos perek zman nichbad, at least for a reasonable amount of time. B'kdei shetia efsharos shalis paschus yedias harofim, sheyedu l'kvoa hanchayos eich l'kayim kanfuyso behateim l'din shel b'chay behem v'metzias ha'chadasha. So that the doctors could figure out how to genuinely do things in the safest possible way that will be in concert with the mitzvah of v'chay behem in the Torah. Kamuvan, einanu betuchim shetia es paschus kazos. Now we don't know that will happen. We don't know whether any epiphany is going to happen. There's going to be this magical knowledge. Avol mikol makom misafik chayavim lahamtin. But misafik, we have to wait. Efshar lahamtin bedvarim elu, aval e efshar. Lahachzir nefesh achas me Yisrael li olam. It is possible to wait. It is impossible for us to return one nefesh me Yisrael, to give up on one nefesh me Yisrael ever. Hamakom yirachim aleinu. That's the end of his tshuva. And again, I just want to emphasize that we're